Hey there, teacher, and good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, whatever it is for you. I hope you are doing well, and I am so glad that you are here. You know, when I first started working as a coach, I really made the mistake of thinking that I was going to be able to just make everything happened for the teachers that I work with. I thought that I was going to be able to teach them all these things or show them all these things and, you know, support them in all these different areas, and that I would see change in whether it be the school's program, because I was also consulting on that, or just some of their practices in the classroom. And, you know, it took me a little bit, but I began to realize that there's only so much that I can do in a certain amount of time. And there are so many reasons for that. It's not just because I can't do it or because I don't have enough time, or it's no one reason. It's a lot of reasons. It's because we can only, you know, each person, we can only handle so many new things at one time, even if we're really willing to learn about them. We can only get so much information into our brain at one time, right? And you know, it's true. Think about someone trying to tell you something. At the same time, you're trying to catch the what they're saying on the TV show that you're watching. And at the same time, your phone is giving you a message. You know, one of those things is not getting into your head. Or just teaching wise, you know, there's always more than one new initiative that's happening, unfortunately. I'm usually one of those things. And even if you're into all of them and say you think they're all great and you want to be able to try them all, there's only so much that you can implement, and there's only so much you can even like understand at any one time. So it could be a little bit of all of them, or it could be not much of one of them and a little bit more of some of the others. Like, it just doesn't happen that way. I've even noticed when I, you know, and this is after quite a few years of planning professional development and working with teachers and seeing how things start to get absorbed or be implemented, I've noticed that even when I really try to focus in one workshop session on just a couple of areas, or I think I'm being very, you know, explicit and taking the time to walk through things and practice things, there are still going to be some teachers who grab a hold of most of it and some teachers who it's almost like they didn't even hear one of the things that we talked about. Because not only, again, can you not take in more than however much information you're able to take in at a time, but everyone is in a different place. And the information that you're giving, the way you're teaching, is going to work differently for different people. It's going to hit them differently because of where they are. And you can only do it in one way at one given time, right? So when you think about like the, what do we call it? The modes of learning, or the, when you think about like kinesthetic and auditory and all of those things, you can only do so many of them at once. And so you can only hit so many of your learners with those things at one time. And then maybe the next time you give that information or different information, you do it in a different way. But there's just so many factors that go into it. And really, a lot of it has to do with the learner themselves. So when I have teachers that, you know, some are really willing and able and some are not willing at all. Or, you know, for some other reason, they're just not able. They're not able to think about it. They're not able to focus on it. They're not able to worry about it. Time is an issue. Stress is an issue. All these different things, right? But then even if you are willing and you do feel able, certain things are going to hit you in certain ways, or you're going to grab onto things because you like this part or you feel like you can do this part right now. And that's exactly what happens with your students. So my episode today, I've thought of this so many times and I've said it so many times to teachers that you are only one part of their journey, just like I'm only one part of a teacher's journey. And the things that I share, some may be implemented now, some might not be till later. Maybe it's because they think about it then and remember it and go back to some of the information I've given, or maybe it's because they hear it again from someone else, or someone else is able to share it in a different way, or it's just at a time that they're ready for it now. And I just see so many of you teachers struggling with certain students who are struggling themselves, or just are not quite on the same level as many of your other students. And those are the ones that we just cling to. You know, those are the ones we worry about and focus on. And we do need to think about them just like we need to think about all of our other students. But what I find is that, and I've done this myself, that teachers feel like there's something they're not doing all the time. There's something they're missing. And that's great, right? I am never going to speak against reflecting. You have to reflect as a teacher. But the thing is, a lot of teachers do. But what they do is they don't just reflect. They just like, what is the word? They ruminate on this student and all the things that they have tried and haven't tried. And I'm not even going to get into the idea that sometimes I feel like we try things and we don't try it hard enough or don't try it long enough. And then we think it's not working, so we switch to something else. So that's a whole nother episode. I'll remember that for later. But we worry so much about this student. And I'm going to tell you two things. One is what I'm going to talk about. You're only one part of their journey. And then two, you have already done things that have helped this writer grow. You're just not letting yourself see it. So I'll get back to that part. I know you've all heard that people learn at a different pace. Everyone learns at a different pace, right? Everyone has their own style, or I don't want to say style, I'm sorry, their own timing. You know, there are children who learn to speak very early, children who take a little bit more time to speak. And it's not necessarily because anything is wrong. It's just because they don't. Sometimes it's because of an older sibling. Sometimes it's just because. There are babies who walk at 9 months and babies who walk at a year and a half. Everything happens differently. Maturity, you know, emotional maturity, responsibility, all of these things happen at different stages of life. You know, or at least not at the exact same times. And we know that. We know that. But for some reason, we don't let ourselves remember that as teachers who are working with students who we feel are below level. But what you have to remember is that in their long life, and even if you just think about their journey in school from preschool to the end of high school or to college, we are just one little part. Our time with them, if we are a, you know, 1 year teacher, I know some of you follow them and you have a 2 year cycle sometimes, which is really cool and interesting. I don't know. I think there's plus and minuses, but I would really like to have experienced that at some point. But usually you're with them for a school year. And although there is so much growth that happens, it's not going to be everything. It can't be everything. And when it comes to writing, when you're really teaching writers and you're really thinking about the things that are important, like engagement, sometimes that is the longest part of their growth in writing, the engagement part, the wanting to write. And unfortunately, it doesn't always happen in the beginning of school. Or sometimes it happens, they enjoy it, and then something happens to stop them, and then they have to enjoy it again. And it's going to take a while. So imagine if a student hates writing, they feel so unskilled and unconfident And they're in 7th grade, 8th grade, 10th grade. And all of a sudden they have this amazing teacher who is bringing authentic writing into their lives. That is a lot to change. That's a lot to, you know, you have, there's a lot of layers to peel. There's a lot of wall to take down, I guess, for some students. And that teacher that year might not make it happen. Or maybe it's the end of the year. Or maybe it's the next year when they have a teacher who's not quite the same. And they're like, man, I wish I was back in with my other teacher. I think she actually made me start to like writing. Or he. It can take a while. Engagement can take a while. That switch for those, you know, 5, 6, 7-year-olds to understanding the concept of words and how to write them, you know, for some students, it takes longer. And we have to remember that, because we have to know that that's okay. That it doesn't mean that we have failed. It just means that we have gotten them as far as we can go. And that's what will then bring me back to this noticing the wins, the growth that has happened. So this is why we want to have notes and data about our writers, and not just from the on-demands or baseline writing, but from observations and conversations with them. Because when you have a student who doesn't want to write, they might not have written anything. So in the beginning of the year, you say, okay, regardless of the grade level, I want you guys to do a piece for me, blah, 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 blah. And they don't do it because they don't want to write, because they don't like it, because they don't feel good at it. They're afraid to do anything. Well, then you have no writing to look at. So what do you need to know? Doesn't want to write, not engaged, doesn't feel confident. And you can't tell that by looking at them. You need to talk to them. You need to, once you get to know your writer, they feel comfortable, try to have some conversations about writing. What has it been like for you? What does it feel like when you tried to write? And then you have that information. And, you know, just as Jacob Justine has said, he just wants to talk to those students just to get to know them and take the pressure off about writing. Because getting to know them is what helps them to feel more comfortable. And then the more you know them, the more you can help them with what, why they might want to write and what they might want to write about. And then exposure to all the different kinds. But I digress. So you want to have those notes from observations and discussions and then on demands, if they have written anything, to be able to track that growth. Because I'm telling you, if you have a student who comes into your classroom not wanting to write for whatever reason, again, because they're not confident, because they don't have the skill, because they just don't want to, they have no reason to, they don't feel like it's important. If they have any of those things going on and you're able to get them to the point where they begin to engage in writing, oh my goodness. Because not only is that such a huge thing, and that's it. Like, if you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it, right? So that's like the biggest hurdle to get over. But not only that, you have now set the foundation so that if that's the only thing that happens in your classroom, they just at least get started. Next year, that job is done. If you, though, with that student, all you worry about is getting something on the paper, and you sit next to them and you're like, hey, write this, or hey, well, can we write this? Okay, great, let's write it. And then you help them with everything. You've gotten things on the paper, but you have not built their engagement. You have not gotten them to want to write. You have not built their confidence. So now when they leave you, it's almost like your time with them is wasted. Because when they leave you next year, regardless of the teacher they have, they still need to want to write. And if the next year's teacher does the same thing that you just did, it's going to happen again next year. So please do not underestimate the value of you at least getting them to want to write, or you at least getting them to understand the different types of genre, or whatever it is that you're able to do to help that writer grow is so important. So make sure you have those notes. If you haven't done it next year or this year, do it next year, and then make sure you look at them. go back and look at their other pieces of writing from earlier in the year. Go back and look at your notes and then think about the notes now and how much it's changed. You have to see the growth so that you feel better about what you're doing, but then they need to see it too. Make sure they understand. Do you remember when you came in and whatever it is? And now think about what you are doing as a writer and how much fun you're having now or whatever it is. You got to think about that and you got to talk to them about it. All right, teacher, if anything, I hope that this episode has made you feel better. I hope you're thinking about that thing you've been worrying about in writing or the student or students you've been worried about. And I hope that I've made you feel better about it and that you've seen what you have been able to do or you have now ideas about what you could do. And just remember, you are one part of their journey and you are doing wonderful things.